Hey guys, I'm Brad Livingston, lead pastor here at Transformation Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to our sermon today. At TC, we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, I hope today's message inspires you to take one step closer to Christ.
Man, we are excited about what God is doing and excited to be back in the series. And here recently, I had some friends over in my house. So I have two different friend groups that I hang out with. I have a theology group. So it's all Bible people, you know what I mean? So we get together, we talk about the Bible, we talk about ecclesiology and eschatology and theology and soteriology and all these words that many of you probably don't even know what they mean. But so we talk about that, and that's kind of like my nerd out group. And then I've got my friend group of normal people. And so they're different friend groups, and so I hang out with them. And recently I was having some of my theology buddies over, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to have some of my normal friends come hang out too. And so they came over, and so when my friend, and I got one buddy that when he walked through the gate, I realized in that moment I did not warn the theology guys ahead of time. And many of you know, his name's Robbie McClaney. All right, so Robbie comes walking in, and it took him walking through the gate for me to realize, because he walked in and he greeted me in a way that Robbie would greet me, but he wouldn't do that in front of y'all. And so he greeted me, and instantly I was like, I did not warn these people about Robbie McClaney. And so in that moment, I was like, hey guys, that's Robbie, just so you know. And matter of fact, I have a few friends like that. I got a few friends. Robbie is one of them. Pastor Justin's actually one of them. I kind of warn people ahead of time. If you know Eli's definitely one of them. I got to warn people about Eli. I'm like, it's almost like a political advertisement commercial. I'm like, I cannot support everything that is said by this person when he shows up. But how many of y'all got one of those friends you almost gotta warn your other friends about before they get there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't have a friend like that, you might be the friend like that, all right? So, but you got friends where you're like, hey, listen, when they get here, just know, I'm sorry, all right? And that's kind of what it was with Robbie. Because how many of y'all just got some friends that are extra? Come on, anybody just got friends? You look at them and you just shake your head when they're there. You're like, man. Right? Matter of fact, I looked up extra in the Urban Dictionary, you know, because the internet tells the truth all the time. And extra means excessive, dramatic behavior, doing the absolute most. Come on, how many of y'all got some friends that are extra? Look at your neighbor and say, I know an extra person. Your neighbor's looking at you like, you are the extra person, honey. Now, we know extra people. But here's the thing, the reality that I think is true about our lives is whether you're an extra person or not, we all want to live an extra life, an extraordinary life. How many guys want to live a life where God is doing the absolute most in your life? Come on, he's doing above and beyond. You're the head, not the tail. Come on. I feel like preaching today. Can y'all get in here with me today? All right. I said, how many of y'all want to see God do some extra in your life, right? And so I was thinking about this today, and I started thinking about, it's like, man, I think all of us want to see God do extra. But then I started thinking about this question, and maybe you can resonate this. Do you ever find yourself looking for extraordinary things in your very ordinary life? Come on, does life ever feel just kind of like ordinary? You're like, God, I want you to do amazing things, but your life just kind of feels plain. Come on, anybody looking for the banana split of life, but you're just rocking vanilla? Come on. You're just like, just kind of, here. And the reality is, I think God wants to do amazing things in our life, but here's the deal. I don't think God wants us to live this extravagant, extraordinary life. I actually think God wants us to live a life of very ordinary things. And in our ordinary, he does the extraordinary. In Romans 2:6-7, he says this. He says, he will judge everyone. Paul's talking, says he will judge everyone according to what they have done. He will give eternal life to those who do amazing, extraordinary, exceptional things. Is that what it says? Or does he just say, for those that just keep on doing ordinary good? For those that do ordinary good, he'll do extraordinary things. In Exodus, he's talking to the people of Israel, who are his people of the Old Testament. He says, now, if you'll go take the city, and if you'll go take the land, and if you'll defeat the armies, is that what he says? Or did he say, if you'll just obey me ordinarily? is if you'll obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possessions. You know, I started thinking, my dad and my mom were up here 2 weeks ago, and they really spent the whole service just telling their story, and it was story after story after story of how God did extraordinary things. But you know what I noticed? In the middle of all those extraordinary things wasn't them doing extraordinary things, it was them doing very ordinary things. And I realized two things. I just want to give these to you. This isn't the sermon. I just want to give these to you, maybe to help you in your life. The first one is this. As I realized, number one, you have to embrace the ordinary. You have to embrace the ordinary. I remember thinking to myself when I was younger, I can't wait to have amazing stories. I can't wait to do amazing things for God. I can't wait to have ridiculous testimony moments. And it led me to the second thing you have to know, and that's that you have to be willing to suffer through the trial to get to the triumph. You got to be willing to suffer through the trial to get to the triumph. Because I remember thinking to myself, God, I want to have a powerful testimony. I want to be able to tell stories like my parents of how you came through. And what I realized is you got to be hungry to praise God for the miracle of provision. You got to go without to praise God for being able to get whatever you didn't have. As a matter of fact, I put it like this. I think many of us want a testimony. We just don't want a test. And what if it's not that you live this extravagant, miraculous, powerful life? What if what God wants you to do is live a very ordinary life? And in the middle of your ordinary, God does the extraordinary. What if he doesn't want you to be ridiculous? What if he just wants to take care of you in extraordinary ways when you do the ordinary? As a matter of fact, I put it like this. When God adds extra to your ordinary, we see extraordinary things. So I'll put it like this. What if it's not your job to have an extraordinary marriage? What if it's your job just to love your spouse? What if it's not your job to write a book on parenting? It's just to take better care of your kids. What if it's not your job to be a social media influencer on what it looks like to change your corporate workplace with leadership? What if it just means being a better employee to a boss so that they see God in you? And through that, God rescues your marriage, heals your kids, and leads your boss to Jesus. What if it's in the ordinary, God does the extraordinary? And I want to tell you a story today in 2 Kings of a man that went through the same thing. And I want to look at three things that I think we can learn from this story. And so let's go to 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It's a story of a man named Naaman. And it says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Say commander. He was a great man. Say great man. In the sight of his master, he was highly regarded. Say highly regarded. Because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier. Say valiant soldier. This dude has it going on, y'all. Talk about a resume. But look what the text says. But he had leprosy. And I want us to look at this life of Naaman and how God, in the middle of his ordinary, did something extraordinary. And the first thing I want you to understand about this life is that everybody has a big butt. Everybody has a big butt. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. Some of y'all are like, absolutely not. I'm not saying that to my neighbor. But like, I've been working on it, okay? I ate salads 3 times this week for lunch. But y'all know dinner be putting a whooping on us, don't it? Golly. Anyways, doesn't matter. Everybody has a big butt. I remember when I was called to preach, I grew up in this city. I grew up in Pensacola. And so about once a month, at least once a month, somebody that I used to deal drugs with walks through the door. And I'm like, you know, like, or someone that I used to run with walks through the door. And listen, it always happens and it never fails that I'm reminded of where I came from as a reminder to me, don't get too high on yourself, right? Because you'll see people you used to get high with. Okay, anyway, sorry. All right. Everybody, how many guys know you could have the life you want, but how many of you know you also got something in your life you're not proud of? everybody has a big but, because you could be the valiant soldier, commander of the army, victorious. You could be highly regarded, but you got this thing in your life. You got the paycheck, you got the house, you got the car, you got the wife, or you got the husband, or you got the kid. You've got everything you wanted. You got the bank account. You've got all this going in your life, but you got this thing you struggle with that you can hide. And you're going, God, I just wish you would take this thing away. If you would take this away, it would be perfect. And how many of you guys realize God doesn't take that thing away? And all of us can look at Naaman and resonate with this life of, I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I'm proud of this. I'm proud of my degree. I'm proud of my career. I'm proud of the person I'm dating. Or I'm proud of, even for you teenagers, I'm proud of my grades. I'm proud of how I'm doing on the basketball team or with cheerleading or whatever. I'm proud of all these things, but I got this one problem I can't seem to get rid of. And that's where Naaman's at in this. And I think that's why Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians, and he says this. This is in the ES version. He says, yes, God did show me many things that were very special. But, because even Paul had a big but he did not want me to be proud because of that. So he gave me a pain in my body like a sharp thorn. Some of you are used to the translation say, he gave me a thorn in my flesh. And Satan uses that pain to give me trouble. Come on, anybody got something that Satan loves to just pop up and remind you of? Come on, you ever been feeling real good? Like today, you wake up, you could go through hell with a squirt gun. You're like, look out, devil. Today, the day is mine, right? You put 2 feet on the ground. You think hell shook when you woke up. You're showing up to work like this is about to be it. Come on, you cried to your favorite worship song on the way to work. The hot now light was on at Krispy Kreme on the way. You got you a donut. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad, right? Like, and you get to work and one of your coworkers has lost their ever-loving mind. Because you got this thing that keeps troubling you. Because it doesn't matter how good things were going, you know you got an anger problem. You know you got a bitterness problem. And that's why Paul says, he says, go back to the, verses 8-9, 3 different times, say 3 times. 3 different times, I begged God, take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. Because my power works best in your weakness. So God didn't tell Paul, you know what? You've been a church planner. You wrote a third of the New Testament. You're the best disciple maker the world's ever seen. You know what? Let me take that from you. He said, I'm glad you know about that problem. I'm gonna let you keep it. And Paul says, all right then, you know what I need. And listen, I want to encourage you today, because here's what you have to remember as you're dealing with the areas of your life that you wish were different. Listen, if you let it, your place of ministry can, or misery can become your place of ministry. If you let it, the fact that your marriage hasn't always been the way you wanted it to be will be the very thing that God uses for you to encourage other people when their marriages are falling apart about how God can rescue a broken marriage. If you let it, the area of your life where that addiction was always so prevalent will be the very area that you'll talk to somebody else about an addiction and say, listen, I know it's been with you for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, but God can show up and set you free once and for all. Like, I know that you don't want that in your life, and I had something in my life, but I'm telling you right now, your place of misery can become the very place that God uses you to encourage someone else. So you got to embrace your big old butt and say, God wants to use this thing. That's going to be on Instagram later. I promise you. That's why Ephesians 4, because a lot of people look and they say, well, Brad, you're the one that does ministry. I'm just trying to make it Sunday to Sunday out here in these chairs, Brad. Well, actually, no, that's not true at all. If you're just trying to make it Sunday to Sunday, it's because you've bought into the lie that God doesn't want to use your place. See, Ephesians 4, 11-12 says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors or shepherds and teachers. He says he gave us all of those things, but listen, not so that you could sit and listen, so that we could equip you to do the work of the ministry. So that we could equip you to do work of ministry. So here's the deal. My job isn't to do ministry. My job is to equip you to do ministry. My job isn't to do everything. It's to equip you to do the things that God has called you to do. And so what if we said yes to doing the ordinary things? And we go back to 2 Kings. We look at this story with Naaman. Right in 2 Kings 5:2. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. She served Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So this young girl goes, if Naaman could go see the prophet could cure him of the leprosy. And so Naaman gets this word, and so he sets out. He says, you know what? I'm going to go see this man in Israel. So he goes to his master. He says, master, this young girl said if I could go see the prophet in Israel, that he could heal me of this leprosy. I want to go see him. The master says, go. But here's the problem. When he started going to Israel, he didn't go see the prophet. He went to see the king. Because the thing is God will tell us to do something, and we'll hear him. We'll just try to do it our way instead of his. Come on, anybody resonate with that? God says, hey, listen, you're offended by that. You need to go apologize to that person. And you're like, I'm not going to do that. Come on, anybody? Like, I'm not going to go apologize to them. Here's what I'll do, God. I'll post about it on social media. And we do our version of what God said rather than doing God's version of what God said. And here's the reality. This is why it's so important, because he goes to the king, and the king actually gets frustrated with Naaman. He says, what am I, a healer? He said, I don't have that power. I'm just the king. Because Naaman went to the wrong man to get the thing that God wanted him to have. And that's why, listen to me, I want to encourage you with this. You got to pick the right audience to seek counsel from. You got to pick the right audience to seek counsel from. Because the king wasn't hearing from God, the prophet was. And he went to the king thinking that the king could give him king treatment, but he didn't need king treatment, he needed God treatment. And for us, we got to go to the right audience to seek counsel from. I remember I was getting into my drumming career, and as I was getting into my, I was playing drums, and at this point I knew I was called to ministry, but I wasn't ready for ministry, if that makes sense. So I still had some things I need to learn. I wasn't ready to pastor a church. I was in my late teens and early 20s, and there were two other guys that I played drums alongside, and we were all kind of making it at the same time. So we were all getting offered contracts to go play on tour and play on albums about the same time. And matter of fact, they have both just signed contracts with very big name artists. If I said the artists, every single one of you would know who they are. And so as they're getting opportunities to go play for these big name artists, we were sitting at a coffee shop here in Pensacola, and they're like, Brad, are you going to sign the contract? Are you going to go? And they were both going to different places. And in that moment, I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know, I don't know that I'm cut out for this. I can play the drums. That's not my concern. I don't know if I can be that isolated. And one of them said, yeah, but you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And in my mind, I instantly was like, that's true, but I do think you got to go to church to be a good one. I know you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's not in the Bible. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I know that's true. And when I say a good one, I don't mean a well-behaved one. I mean a faithful one. And listen, I did two orientations in college. I went to one orientation in college, and at that orientation, I went to two college parties and instantly was like, I do not need to be here. Last thing I need is 4 years at a university. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'll leave my degree and come back with something else. So I was like, I do not need to go do that. And in this moment, it was a very similar situation, because I was thinking to myself, they were like, you don't need to be a Christian, or you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. In my mind, I was like, maybe you don't, but I think I do. And within a few years, one of them was addicted to drugs. The other one was going through a divorce. And I was like, it wasn't a C, I told you so. It was a C, I knew what I was hearing from God for me. And the right audience will lead you the right way. And that's the thing we got to realize, man. And here's the thing I tell people, because I think there are moments in your life where a line gets placed in the sand and people start picking sides. And I think we have to be really intentional to pay attention to who's on each side, right? What I mean by that is this. In that moment, there was a line drawn in the sand. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, which is true. Again, I support that. But then I started paying attention to the life that was being lived by the people that were saying that. And I was going, that's not the life that I want. And I think for many of us, lines are getting drawn in the sand where people are saying, well, you can do this and be a Christian, or you don't have to do that to be a Christian. But the people that are saying that, life is a mess. And here's what I'll tell you. Whatever the people on each side of the line look like is the life you'll have 6 months after choosing the side. So if you choose the side with the people that say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, pay attention to their life, because they're bitter, angry, unforgiving, look nothing like God, don't love people very well, and they're always talking bad about the church. If you want that, have it. But you look at the other side where the marriages are intact, people are loving God, they're raising their kids to love God, it's a multi-generational favor, I think I'll take that. So even if the statement is factual, doesn't make it true. And I want to encourage you, we're going to go through seasons, especially, can I just be honest with you, it's an election year and people about to get buck wild. People are going to start making statements that might be factual, but they need to have truth. And you need to realize who's on what side of the line, and is that the life I want to live? Because you'll look like the people on that side of the line 6 months after you make the decision to stand there. And I want to encourage you, pick the right audience. That's why the wrong audience will tell you the thing that makes sense to your mind. The wrong audience will tell you the thing. It makes sense to my mind, but listen to me, the right audience will tell you what connects you to God's word. The right audience will tell you what connects you to God's word. And we have a couple people in our church. There's a couple in our church that as they were connecting to God and as they were coming to put their faith in Jesus and God was doing amazing things in their life. They're business owners. They're super successful in so many ways. They got a beautiful, amazing family. But even in the midst of all of that, they had to find the right community for them. And we actually got their story about how small groups, how TC groups changed their life. And since today is rally day for TC groups, since today is rally day, we want to tell you their story to encourage you about how you can be encouraged by joining a TC group. Let's roll it, guys.
My name is Virku.
Youngku.
In 2005, right before we got married to Young, I converted to become a Catholic because I wanted our family, or our future family and kids, to have a uniform belief system. I wasn't really feeling it as far as like, I didn't understand a lot of the rules and why we had all these rules. So we slowly stopped going and didn't even attend anymore.
So I started praying about finding a new church home, and then God led me to TC. I came in to TC very vulnerable and willing. I just started saying yes. I started Next Steps, Pipeline, started serving.
I attended TC with Young on the Sundays that I could. I even would go to church for an hour and split with the family and go straight back to work. But small group season started. Remember, I don't have any background in any of this stuff. So it's like, hey, you know, join a small group. So I've made friends with Charity and Lakeith. They're no longer with us, but you know, they're very high energy, bubbly. And they're like, hey, join my small group. And Lakeith's like, I'll give you this Bible. I was like, ooh, I like free stuff. I'll join, you know? So, thank God, you know, he recruited me. You know, the Bible's so much to unpack, but, you know, we went over just, you know, a few paragraphs each time, but it created a sense of belonging. I didn't feel Christ around me. Since TC, my experience has been completely different. Now that I'm ready, he's revealed himself to me in a better way, you know, that where I can understand. And then currently right now I'm in one with D, and you know, before he started his small group, I was that, hey D, cause he's a trainer by trade. And I was like, hey D, why don't you start one with working out, you know? Cause I'm trying to get back into fitness and things like that. And sure enough, he started. And so I've been coming to his small group to train. And it's been fun, you know. Not only do we get a good workout, but then we get to cheer other people on, and they get to cheer us on. We're gonna work out a lot harder since there's that sense of community and camaraderie. So it's been good. And then as the group series goes on, you know, people are gonna start becoming more vulnerable because we can trust each other more. And that's whenever the magic actually happens to, you know, support other people in their times of need, or we might be the person that needs something during that time. And you know, as that 10, 12 people, there may be a few that you connect with at that time in your life because situational or, you know, whatever the reason may be. But you never know. Just show up and, you know, God's going to put somebody in your life that's going to help you.
And then it's transformed our family.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, our family is just, we're a lot better, healthier, I think, closer.
We can become a part of this community and follow Christ without having to feel like we're in trouble or sinning. Like everybody has issues. You know, we wake up every day and put it on our game face and we're fine. But inside there's things that we're going through that we're not fine. And TC allowed me, especially, you know, me and my family, to be vulnerable. Like, okay, so we're not the only people that has issues, and we just need to, you know, pretty much give those problems to Jesus and let Him handle them.
Amazing story. And that's the thing, man. We all need the right audience in our lives. We all need to be connected to the right people. We all need to have the right voices speaking into our lives, you know. And when you look at Viet Young's story, one of the things that's special is like they were successful. Their life wasn't going down the tubes. They just knew there had to be something more. And if you were to ask them now, they would tell you, we live an ordinary life, but we're watching God do extraordinary things. You go to 2 Kings 5 with the story of Naaman. And it continues and it says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. So Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Now, if you don't know, y'all, the Jordan was nasty. I'm talking like mud and manure nasty. And so he actually gets frustrated because Elisha's like, hey, go dip yourself 7 times in the nastiest water you've ever seen in your life. And that's actually where we pick up. But Naaman went away angry because he was like, I don't want to get in the Jordan. I don't want to get into the river like that. I don't want to. He's like, listen, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. And how many of y'all know we're exactly the same way? Come on, anybody? God, I thought you were just gonna show up and abracadabra this problem away. Come on, God, I thought I could just come to you, and if I came to you, you would just make everything better all of a sudden. Anybody? God, I thought as soon as I came to you, you were going to miraculously heal my marriage that's been broken for 15 years. I thought you would magically make my kids start getting straight A's and stop losing their mind in Jesus' name, right? Some of you teenagers are like, I thought you would magically make my parents stop losing their mind. I thought you would magically talk to my boss and you would just whoop some grace into that place. I thought you would just wave your hand over it and things would just get better. And how many of y'all realize that ain't what it looks like? But how many of you realize with me that we get just like Naaman? Some of us will look at God and say, the audacity God has to not just instantly change my situation. And how many of you like me will be honest and say, we kind of turn into toddlers. Because we just start talking to God. God, I can't believe this. I've been going to church. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. Once a week at least. I didn't cuss that person out when I could have. God, I am killing it right now, and you're not doing your job. Come on. Can we be honest for a second? We can be a lot more like Naaman than maybe we realize. I thought you would have done it by now. Not only are you not just miraculously doing it, now you're asking me to do something that seems ludicrous. But here's what I'll give you. What God wants to do is more important than how you want him to do it. God wants to do something great, and you're caught up on how he wants to do it rather than what he actually wants to do. Listen, God wants to do something great in your life. He wants to show up in a powerful way. You need to stop worrying about how he wants to do it and start realizing what he wants you to do in the process. When we go to 2 Kings 5, verse 13 through 14, praise God, Naaman had some people around him that had some sense. Because they said, Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, climb a mountain, kill a bear, whatever, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And the reason why, it's what I want you to grab a hold of, is because being obedient to the ordinary opens the door to experience the extraordinary. Listen, you don't need to change the world. Start by changing your home. You don't need to rescue your friend. Start by loving your spouse. You don't need to write a book on parenting. Just raise your kids better. Maybe be a little more gracious, a little more loving, a little more compassionate. You don't need to be a social media influencer. Just start by being a more encouraging friend and watch what God will do in your life. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul even says, he starts calling out people. He's like, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when God called you. He's like, y'all weren't really wise. He's like, not by human standards. In other words, Paul's kind of throwing shade. He's like, y'all weren't geniuses, bro. He's like, you weren't noble. You weren't influential. And this is what he says. He says, because God wants to use the foolish things of the world to show something special to the wise. In other words, God wants to use ordinary things, ordinary people living an ordinary life to do extraordinary things. So how do you use this today? What's your next step? Well, I think it starts with community and it starts with the right audience. I think you gotta get the right voices in your life to help you live that kind of life. So here's what I'll tell you. I wanna encourage you today, join a TC group to experience an extraordinary life in ordinary ways. And you know, I kicked off the service talking about my friend Robbie. And Robbie is something special, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I gotta apologize for Robbie a lot. As a matter of fact, we went to eat just the other night, me, Robbie, and our wives and a few friends, Pastor Rick was there. And at one point, I think I apologized to the waiter 3 times. I said, please excuse him. He's an Alabama fan. Just kidding. Anyways, but you know, one of the things that's real special about Robbie is that everywhere he works, he makes an impact on the kingdom of God. There are people in this room right now. The reason you're here is because you work with Robbie or worked with Robbie, and at his workplace, he never saw past the ability to see people that were hurting and say, hey, come in my office, let's talk, and tell them that the hope that they're looking for is found in Jesus. Every opportunity he got. Is Robbie a hero? No, he's just an ordinary man through the power of God doing extraordinary things. And that's what God wants for our life. And it made me start thinking about this story. Who's the hero of this story? Who's the person in this story that when you look at, you're like, that's the one right there. That's what the story's all about. Is it Naaman? Who finally had enough faith to be obedient and say, all right, I'm gonna go get in this water. Is it Elisha who was hearing from God to say, this is the thing that you need to do? And as I was thinking about the hero of the story, I realized who it really is. It's the little girl. She was captured and became a servant to Naaman. She's a slave. And she could have known the leprosy and just kept her mouth shut. Like, that's what you get. Come on, that would have been some of us. Come on, who's petty in the house? Go on, give me a head nod. You ain't gotta raise your hand. Some of you already did. Good for you. You're honest with yourself. We appreciate that. But if you're petty in here, just give me a little head nod. That's me. Come on, some of y'all saw a problem at work and didn't fix it because you didn't get a pay raise 6 months ago. I know you would have been this little girl. She could have just been like, that ain't my problem. That's your leprosy, bruh. But she didn't. because she realized why she was there. You know, I put it like this: the destiny of her captivity was to introduce freedom to her captives. The destiny of her captivity was to introduce freedom to her captors. Wow. You wanna know who that reminds me of? Jesus. Because the destiny of his captivity was to bring freedom to his captors. He that knew no sin became sin so that the people that did sin could know what righteousness was. And that's why I think it's important, if we're going to follow Christ, we do it in ordinary ways, watching him lead us to extraordinary things. And here's what I'll leave you with as we close. How could we impact the world around us if we let God use ordinary people in oftentimes very unfavorable situations to do extraordinary things? We could watch God change, maybe not the world, but we could watch God change somebody's world through us. Y'all with me today? So let's do it together. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, that you lead us and you encourage us and you guide us to say yes to the right things. Thank you, God, that you're calling us to live an ordinary life. But in our ordinary life, in our ordinary obedience, in our ordinary faithfulness, in our ordinary marriages, in our ordinary parenting, in our ordinary homes, in our ordinary schools with our classmates, in our ordinary jobs with our coworkers and our bosses, in the middle of those things, because we're faithful, you're gonna lead us to do extraordinary things. And when we do extraordinary things, people will know it's you, not us. So God, lead us to those things. Help us live the life that points people to you. In Jesus' name. If you're here today, church, you say, Brad, I want to live an extraordinary life, but I got to be honest with you. Jesus is not the Lord of my life. And you see, friends, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins, and all it takes to be forgiven of our sins is to put our faith in Jesus. And today, if you want to be forgiven of our sins, today, if you want a fresh start and a new beginning, today, Jesus is ready to meet you. And if that's you, you say, Brad, I want a new beginning. I want Jesus to forgive me my sins. I want to surrender my life to him. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, and the whole church will pray with you so you're not praying by yourself. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me my sin. Forgive me in my wrongs. I believe in you. I believe you died for me, so I give you my life. Make me brand new. Give me a fresh start. And I'll follow you forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. TC, let's give it up for all those that prayed that in the room and online. So proud of you. It's amazing.